from the pocket, launching downfield, underthrown and intercepted. Kaylee Ringo has an escort down the sidelines. All the way to the end zone, and Georgia is going to conquer the Crimson Tide.
Welcome to the TNT Podcast with your host Tyler Layfield and Torres the Punisher Finney.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the TNT Podcast. Here with your boy, Torres Finney, and my co-host, Tyler Layfield. What's up, Tyler?
Man, nothing much. It's been a while. It's good to catch up with you, man. I've been seeing you've been on some more adventures here lately, traveling the globe, doing your thing. So, man, I'm ready to catch up with you. We got a lot to cover today, and just be back here talking, man. I'm excited.
Yes, man, dude, definitely, man. Look, dude, it has been a great weekend this past weekend. Well, past two weekends, you know, we got a chance to watch, obviously, the Super Bowl. Yes, and this past weekend was UFC 298. So, definitely, let's dive in.
Yeah. So, let's go ahead. Tell us about do you want to dive into your recent, trip that you made at all while we're about to dive into UFC 298 or no?
No, not really. Not yet.
Okay. Not yet. All right. We'll save that one then. All right. We'll save that for another time. So on the topic of MMA and whatnot, we got UFC 298 that just happened. And I know we previewed this one in a previous podcast. You had kind of talked about this dude that ended up winning the main event. What were your takeaways from the whole card? And then your thoughts about being right on that assessment?
Well, you know, I told a lot of people going in that I've seen Ilya Topuria train 2 years ago when I was in Miami. I seen him train one time. And I told everyone when I seen it, I said, y'all, this guy's special. You know, I told a lot of people then when he was getting ready to fight Bryce Mitchell. I said, man, because Bryce Mitchell was undefeated. Obviously, Ilya was also undefeated. And I was like, man, Bryce Mitchell was a huge favorite in that fight. And I'm like, y'all don't understand, man. This Ilya boy different, man. He beat Bryce, finished Bryce. Then he fought Josh Emmett in Jacksonville in June of last year. I was there at that fight, you know, and watched it live. And again, he 50-42'd Josh Emmett. That means he had a 10-7 round, which is one of the rarest things you see in MMA. Again, there was levels to the game, and people don't understand. Ilya Topuria is on a different level, and he knocked out Volkanovski, and I am not surprised. I thought he would definitely finish Volkanovski. I thought he was going to for real beat him in any type of fashion. I saw a knockout happening. I know a lot of people didn't see it, but I was there when Volkanovski got knocked out by Islam. And to get knocked out and then fight 4 months, you know, 4 months later, that, you know, getting knocked out twice in the span of 4 months is you just can't do it, man. You cannot. You have to give your chin time to rest. You got to give your brain time to rest. You cannot just jump back in. And to jump back in, not only just jump back in, but jumping again against a guy like Ilya Topuria, not beneficial, man. Not beneficial at all.
So, yeah, that was the main one, and I did end up seeing the knockout. It seemed like that one was never really close, was it?
No. Volkanovski won round one. Okay. He won it with a lot of kicks. And then going into the second round, you saw a lot of good things from Ilya. Ilya really – you saw it eventually coming. Ilya was really setting up that power shot with that right hand. He was fading it, changing his level. Ilya's not much of a kicker, but he's more of a boxer that leans in. And, man, he was just setting up his shot so pretty. And, obviously, once he put Volkanovski back on the cage, it was done. So, if you've seen all of Ilya Topuria's knockouts, he gets guys on that cage. And, again, when you got nowhere to move, he puts those combinations on you, and it is over.
Yeah, I saw one highlight from the night where a guy was able to end a dude. You could probably, you know, help me on the names here, but he kept on kicking and kicking and kicking. He finally, the dude just, he couldn't stand up anymore. And then that was pretty much the end of it. Like the guy ended up jumping on, you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I do. It was I know exactly what fight you're talking about. It was the heavyweight fight. That fight was very interesting because in that fight, oh my gosh, I can't think of his name right now. I'm about to find it because he's gonna eat at me. Yes, Marcos De Lima. He went against Junior Toffa. Junior Toffa is the brother of man, I can't think of his other name. He's another Toffa brother. His brother had to pull out of the fight because of injury. He stepped in on 10 minutes notice, weighed in, and took the fight. And, I mean, obviously, Lima.
How much notice?
10 minutes. Weighed in. He weighed in 10 minutes.
Oh, my God.
And fought De Lima. So, yeah.
And I'm assuming he's the one that lost that, right?
Yeah. He took the leg. Yeah. Well, and he had a fight plan, you know, in about 5 weeks. So, you know, interesting.
Wow. Yeah, very interesting. Very interesting. Any other big takeaways from this card? I saw Whitaker won his. Anybody else really stand out to you from this card?
I really enjoyed the Whitaker and Paulo Costa fight. I felt like that fight was phenomenal to watch. The spinning heel kick Paulo Costa landed on Whitaker. Man, that was huge. But I did obviously think Whitaker won the fight. Some people thought Paulo Costa won the fight. Whitaker definitely won that fight, mainly because Whitaker was landing majority of the shots and he was dominating, controlling the cage from majority of the entire fight. I mean, from round one to three, you take away that huge spinning heel kick. I mean, now Pasta landed a lot of good shots. Don't get me wrong. Pasta landed, his jab was on point in that fight, man. Paulo Costa's jab was so on money. But I mean, Whitaker just showed you how freaking good he is, man. Bobby Knuckles is a bad mother sucker, man. He's really good. He's really good. So it was really cool to see Robert Whitaker can get that win. Merab Dvalishvili versus Henry Cejudo. Dude.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw some clips of that one.
That fight. Oh, my gosh. Dude, I mean, you want to talk about, like, a great wrestling fight, and then it changed to, like, I mean, oh, my gosh. Because, like,
Henry he just picked him up, toted him to the other end, and just put him down.
Yes, but Henry like, he took him down in the first round, and Henry got up, and then Henry landed some beautiful takedowns on Merab, and it was just some really good takedowns back and forth, some good strikes in exchange, and then Merab pressure and pace. I have never in my life seen Henry Cejudo breathing coming out of round one like that. This man was – Merab's cardio is on a whole nother level. There was an interview. He was in the back with Aljamain Sterling sparring 3 5-minute rounds. Then went out there and fought 3 5-minute rounds again. Here's Cejudo right after. Like, his cardio is unreal. And I for sure think he is for sure going to be next in line for the bantamweight title. Obviously, that's going to happen in Miami in 299 with Sean O'Malley and Chito Vera. And I do feel like Sean O'Malley wins that fight. And I feel like we can see a Merab versus Sean O'Malley fight. That'll be awesome.
Be fun. Yeah, the only other, I think, takeaway here, I know Dad, he was texting me. He was ready to watch Ian Garry go against Jeff Neal. That ended up being a split decision. Ian Garry's still undefeated. Anything you got there?
No, that fight was a little bit of a boozer. You know, I wasn't excited for that one, really. I was rooting for Jeff Neal, but I knew Ian Garry was going to win. I literally said when we was all watching, I said, Ian Garry's going to win this by decision. And that's exactly what he did. He won the fight by decision. So, it should have been split, in all honesty. It should have been unanimous, but it is what it is. But he won the fight. But it was a solid fight. It was a solid fight, really solid fight. And excited to see Ian Garry.
Yeah. All right. Last thing here before we move off of UFC. I was looking on X and I saw a clip of what's the reporter's name from ESPN that covers MMA? Is it Ariel?
Wani.
Yes, and he was talking on a podcast, and he kind of he revealed the main event for UFC 300, and everybody was kind of like, oh, you know, like it was like one of those like, And, you know, I'm sure you've seen it by now, but Alex Pereira versus Jamal Hill, I think they were expecting something major to kind of be the headliner here for this card. What do you think about it, though?
Yeah, so a lot of people was expecting a big name for that UFC 300 card. I mean, obviously, up to this point, it will be the biggest event in UFC history. And you will want the biggest fight for the biggest event in history. And obviously, it's a little bit underwhelming. It's still a great fight. Don't get me wrong. Any other pay-per-view, it will be phenomenal. It'll be a phenomenal main event. But for UFC 300, I feel like it is a little bit underwhelming. Mm-hmm. You know, I think a lot of guys want more of their top tier stars. And I just think some of their guys didn't necessarily get that. And I like Alex Pereira. He's a star. It's just his dance partner. And I like Jamal Hill. He's one of my favorite fighters to watch.
Yeah.
I just don't think he necessarily is flashy for the position of the main event of UFC 300. Has been talk. It was supposed to be Leon Edwards potentially against Chimaev or Islam
McGregor
or Shavkat.
Have you heard anything about McGregor?
No, McGregor was never in mention.
I don't know. Maybe I'm misquoting him here, but I remember. So I was watching the Super Bowl, at least the first half, and we'll get into the Super Bowl here in a second. But I was watching the first half with Jordan, but you know Jordan Meadows. He used to be on the show for a good while. You know, he would pop in and talk MMA with us. He was like, yeah, I think they might be revealing a commercial. There's like rumors that there might be a commercial about an upcoming UFC card and something about McGregor. So I don't know. Maybe I'm misquoting it, but I know that was something that maybe they had kind of talked about.
It was never going to be that. No, it was never going to be that. Okay. A lot of people reporting false stuff on people got to be mindful of social media. A lot of that stuff don't be happening. Like a lot of stuff going behind the scenes. Half of that stuff what they put on social media don't even be happening.
Given it wouldn't make sense with the movie coming out this year, the Roadhouse movie with McGregor being the villain. I mean, you might can make a money, you know, grab out of it. I don't know.
No, because he would have had time. Like Dana White said, Dana White even already had an interview. He said Conor McGregor was never in the mention because he did have that movie come out. And he's going around on tours. He's very busy. He said that was never an option. Yeah.
Yeah, Jacob chimed in. Yeah, he said Ilya is a different animal. UFC has never been in such a good spot. You agree?
I think Ilya is going to be a star. He is going to be the star. I think he's going to be the next big guy, big thing for them. I wouldn't say it would never been a better spot. Obviously, the best spot it was when McGregor was at his helm. But you know, it is for sure rising and it is growing big time. So
yeah,
I think Ilya for sure is about to become a huge star.
Yes. Well, you know, we'll be touching base on that UFC 300 card. There's some names to really pay attention to on that card that look pretty nice. I mean, I don't know. There's a lot of good ones. Like, good Lord. I mean, we could probably save that one for another one if you want to. That isn't till when? That is in April, right? So April 13th. So, yeah, we got some time. We'll touch base on that one. But that's something that I at least wanted to kind of pick your brain on. So, let's dive into that Super Bowl, baby. Let's dive into to that Super Bowl. You know, pretty much how we drew this one up, right? Pretty much how everybody expected this one to pretty much play out. Torres and I laid it out, man. Regardless of if the 49ers were the favorites or not, come on, man. You know what I'm saying? Come on, man. It ain't going to work like that, man. And sure enough, played out pretty much right on cue with what you kind of figured would play out in this one. The Chiefs, obviously, in the end, pulling this one out. Man, it was a good game, though. I enjoyed it. I mean, early turnovers for both teams early on in the game. And, you know, there was a little bit of a back and forth. The defenses were showing up pretty well. It was entertaining for the most part. I got into it. I stayed up and watched the whole thing. I'll admit it. You know, I did. And I enjoyed the halftime show. It started off a little slow for Usher. In my opinion, it started off a little slow, but then as time went on, because I was like, I don't know, man. I don't know. At first, I was like, I don't know about this one. This may not be it. But then kind of around the time Alicia Keys popped on stage, from that point through the rest of it, it was pretty fire.
So it was pretty good. I thought it was one of the better ones through the past few years. Is what, you know. You know, I've never been a big halftime show guy my own self. I really never
cared. My wife is, so I get sucked into it.
So you have to watch it. Yeah, that makes sense.
He loves
some
Usher too. So I mean, I'm not against it. You know, I watch it. Yeah, thoughts on the game? Thoughts on the game itself?
Well, I mean, again, until proven otherwise, I've not been against Mahomes, and I think once again we're in this predicament where we are currently in the era of a all-time generational great quarterback. We saw that with Tom Brady. Now we're currently seeing this with Patrick Mahomes. I remember last year, I picked him to win MVP, picked him to win the Super Bowl. They did it. I picked him at the beginning of this season. I said, until proven otherwise, I think they're going to repeat. They started out slow. Boom. I'm not going to lie to you. Didn't think my pick was going to be any better when after they lost to the Raiders. When they lost to the Raiders around Christmas at home, 20-14, they couldn't score more than 14 points, and the Raiders didn't score any.
It was an ugly game.
It was an ugly game. All they did was run the ball. I was like, oh, man, no, there's no way this team. But I did think about it, and I said, how many times have I seen this with Tom Brady? How many times have I seen it where the team looked awful during the regular season, and then the playoffs hit, and whoop, all the receivers that have been dropping passes, all the players that have been looking awful, guess what they start doing? They start playing their game.
Everybody, yeah.
Chiefs look phenomenal throughout the playoffs when they played Miami, when they went to Buffalo, when they went to Baltimore. Now you played another team that was picked highly favored over you, even though, you know, some people think on paper they're the better team overall, which I did as well. And now you got the freaking, you know, the Chiefs went in there and played their game. And the 49ers, dude, bro, it's Kyle Shanahan in a way, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. That third quarter, bro, the third quarter, you had Christian McCaffrey, what he was doing that first half, running all over them boys. Third quarter hits, Christian McCaffrey only had one rushing carry. Mm-hmm. Why? He has been running all over the Chiefs defense.
Typical.
Why are you throwing the – like, look, and I look, I'm not against Brock Purdy. I think Brock Purdy is a really good quarterback. I'm not going to call him
a little. I still like him, yeah. I still think he's
good. I think he's a really good quarterback. But when the game's on the line, why are we against a team you know that you don't ever really want to give the ball back, no matter how many times you stop them, you don't want to keep giving the ball back. And yet, you keep throwing the ball, three and outs. Obviously, we see what happened when the Chiefs had to punt one time. Ball bounces off one of the 49ers' legs. They get it, and momentum change. Yep. We keep – it's the same, dude. It's like it's the same story every time with these boys, man. Like, I wouldn't necessarily call it luck because it keeps happening over and over again. But it's definitely some type. It's different, and to continue to keep seeing this over and over and over, man, you just ask yourself the question: Kyle Shanahan, when are you going to get it done? I mean, Kyle Shanahan. So I have said this on the show before. When you make it to a Super Bowl, you make it to a conference championship, those are achievements because it is hard to make it there. Like any NFL player would tell you, it is hard to make it there. That's why we appreciate what Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes is doing. These guys are making it here every year and winning almost every year. That is hard. We take that stuff for granted. But Shanahan, on the other hand, has made it here three times. And how many times have he got it done? None. And he keeps making the same mistake. It gets to the point. There ain't nobody else to blame. If you the same guy, plus 10 points in the Super Bowl, obviously we know the big comeback with the Patriots. Like, what are we doing? You have a top-tier defense. You had the number two rushing offense right behind the Baltimore Ravens. And you don't really utilize it when you need it to be utilized. That's when you got the lead, that's the best time to utilize that. Like, come on, bro. I don't know, but the Chiefs look really good, man. Mahomes, they're a dynasty. The Chiefs are a dynasty. And Mahomes is now putting himself amongst the rankings as, you know, one of the better quarterbacks of all time.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's adding on to it. You know, we've alluded to it in previous shows. But, yeah, it felt like it was over right there at the end in overtime. And you know, we got to talk about the overtime rule thing because that ended up really – they shot themselves in the foot there too. The 49ers did. There's no sense in trying to be the first one to get the ball with the new overtime rules. And
they didn't know the rules.
That's what they said. And then they walked it back. They ended up walking it back, you know, a couple of days later on saying they knew it, but they made a mistake in what they said or something like that. But yeah, after they went, what was it, three and out right there? Like it was right there at the goal line. They were right there at the goal line and couldn't punch it in. That was really what.
That was huge.
That was the nail in the coffin right there. Yeah, you settled for a field goal. That wasn't the first time in the game either. That ended up happening earlier in the game as well, like in regulation. And then you got to also mention the blocked extra point. You know, that ended up being a big game changer there as well. So, I mean, there was a lot of things, you know, just like any game that could have swung the other way and could have altered the way that this ended up playing out. But, yeah, of course, I was you know, I was out there rooting for the 49ers. I wanted them to win. I'm not going to lie. It wasn't because of a Taylor Swift thing. I was just like, you know, the underdog. To me, the underdog. I understand what Vegas thought. I don't really agree with that. having a great brother from the jump, but who I consider to be the underdog. I was kind of rooting for them. But yeah, it's a you know, it's just their resilience. You know, the Chiefs, they throughout whatever was thrown their way, they were able to bounce back, you know, score when needed to, and when they had the ball like that at the end for a chance to either tie it or win it in the end, and they just kept converting. Like literally those like third and longs, they just kept converting. That's just backbreaking. And they just kept on doing it. They just kept on giving it up. The 49ers did, and that was pretty much it, man. So overall, pretty good game, though. I mean, anytime you get an overtime game in a Super Bowl, you can't really complain. Let's see here. Dennis chiming in. Mahomes and Andy Reid are the new Brady and Belichick. I think you kind of have to – I mean, for this past decade, I mean, I guess – well, not even decade. You can't really – because, I mean, yeah, 14, they were still going. But this past, like, what, 5 years? Yeah.
Ever since 2018, when Mahomes first started. Yeah, I remember. Mahomes first every year starting as a quarterback, he threw for 5,000 yards and 50 touchdowns and won MVP. First every year. At this rate, to be honest, he is, like, surpassing Brady up to this point. He has. Yes, they got the same amount of rings. But what do you think? All right? And anybody's watching. How many rings do you think Mahomes need to get for him to for Mahomes to eclipse Brady? Because personally, I don't think he has to get 7. Like, for one, 7 is unreal. Yes, I know Brady went to 10 Super Bowl. Yes, I know he won 7. Yes, I know what he's already done. Yeah. But I do not see him having to win 7 again to necessarily eclipse Tom Brady. Here's another thing. Brady has beat him twice in the playoffs. Brady beat him in the AFC Championship game, and Brady beat him in the Super Bowl. All right? Both had different circumstances. You know, he had a very injured offensive line, or in the AFC Championship game, you know, it came down to the coin flip. He didn't get the ball. You know, I know a lot of people use a different excuse, but because if you actually think about it, Mahomes threw for like 300-some yards, 3 touchdowns in the AFC Championship game, while Brady threw 1 touchdown, 2 picks. You know, he didn't have that great of a game. So the better quarterback necessarily didn't have to win the game in that game. So what you like, how many rings per se or Super Bowls you think Mahomes would have to do? What would he necessarily have to do to eclipse Tom Brady?
You know, when you say how many, I don't know if I can really put a number on it, but I can say this. I mean, what is this? That's his third Super Bowl, correct? You know, and that was his third out of, is that 3 tries?
4.
So he's 3 for 4 right now. What was Brady 7 for 9?
He's 7 for 10.
7 for 10. Okay. So yeah, well, yeah, the 2 Giants and then what was the other one?
Eagles. The Eagles.
That's right. The Eagles. So yeah, so the 2 Giants and the Eagles. So maybe it could be something like that where, hey, he's got a better win percentage, I guess, and that kind of thing. And then right now in every other statistical category, it looks like he is going to surpass him. Obviously, he's going to beat him in the rushing category. That's not even a conversation. but as far as passing yards and touchdowns.
I mean, Brady thrown for about – if you combine playoffs and regular season, he thrown for about 100,000 yards. That's a lot of yards.
But this is so early in Mahomes' career. It's a passing league now. You don't have to really – I mean, don't get me wrong, the rush played a big part in this. Pacheco played a big role in this this offense. And, you know, that can't go without being said. But with the way things are trending, you can't help but bet on the side of Mahomes on this, that he will – I mean, if, you know, barring injury, barring any unforeseen circumstances popping up in his career, you know, you kind of have to think this dude's going to surpass Brady in the statistical categories. Should he be able to hold up? And I think that's going to happen.
I actually agree slightly with you.
It's only gonna get better too, because it ain't like they're gonna get worse wide receivers than they got right now. They're about to get some free agents. They're about to get some draft picks coming in that are gonna help them. Like,
that's crazy.
Dude, if you can win with Marquez Valdez-Scantling, what's the guy Justin Watson making catches, McCall Hardman making the game. I mean, dude, Rasheed Rice is probably arguably the best wide receiver. You know him, and you know you can make the case of Kelsey, of course, but
no, their best wide receiver. Obviously, you take away Kelsey from as being a tight end, but it's Rasheed Rice.
Rice is awesome. Yeah, I mean, he's good. He's good. He's only gonna get better too. So yeah. I mean, the baseline's there. It's only gonna go up.
Statistical year. I mean, he threw for 27 touchdowns and 14 interceptions. The worst statistical year in the Mahomes era. and they won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
They went on the, and it's not like they had home field advantage. They had to go on the road. They had to beat the top tier teams on the road. And all those games were tight. They were close. There was no, I was telling people, there's no excuses. If y'all didn't beat the Chiefs this year, now, yeah, like, obviously, there's going to be other years certain teams going to be able to do this and that. But y'all didn't beat them this year. Then what the freak you think going to happen?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
You're retaining that defensive coordinator, Spagnuolo. You're retaining all the defensive players. It looks like, I mean, I think McDuffie's still on his rookie contract. Mm-hmm. Now Snead might be gone. They might lose him because he's going to get some money thrown his way. Chris Jones already said he's going to be back. That's major. That's huge. He played a huge role in that win. I think he's up there as far as like game MVP. He's up there for me with the pressures he was able to create. Because I mean, had he not made some of those pressures, there was going to be some scoring plays, from the 49ers. So he'll be back. They got some other people, that are pretty big. So I just don't see this being a thing that's a downward trend. This thing is only going to continue to climb.
I say this. If these guys come back next year and three-peat, the first ever three-peat in the NFL history, if they're able to do that, you put yourself in the echelon of sports that a lot of people aren't able to do, to win three in a row. That's one of the hardest things to do. Anybody can tell. Obviously, it was hard. Tom Brady didn't even accomplish it. And he's got the most of all time. The Bills went to four straight Super Bowls, but they didn't win any of them. That shows you how hard it is. That's what I tell people. Don't take none of this stuff for granted. Like, people understand, Brady didn't win a Super Bowl for 10 straight years after he won his third. So, now, if Mahomes goes 10, I don't see Mahomes going 10 straight years without winning another one.
He'll be well within the mix every year.
Oh, for sure. And I just think, one, if they three-peat, first ever three-peat, he's already making history. He already broke the curse of being an MVP and winning the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. Right? He broke that curse because I actually don't think Tom Brady has ever done that. Won MVP and won the Super Bowl, if I'm not mistaken. I don't think he's done that. Because 2017, I know he lost to the Eagles. 2011, he didn't make it. Lost to the Giants. And 2007, he lost to the Giants. So he won three MVPs.
Stats, and that's off the top of your head, ain't it?
Yes.
Look at this guy. Golly.
I mean, three MVPs. He's already got one over one MVP and won a Super Bowl in the same season. And if he three-peats, he going to have four.
That's crazy.
He'll have four Super Bowls. If he wins next year, he'll have four Super Bowls in seven seasons.
That's crazy.
That's crazy.
So,
we'll see.
Reed will be back. I can't even – who was the offensive coordinator? I can't even remember who the offensive coordinator was.
Nagy.
So, yeah, he's probably going to – That's crazy. Nagy. Nagy was able to – That's a miracle in itself, I feel like. They're only going to get better. Let's talk about the 49ers. We just took a whole – I bet people are just sick and tired of hearing about the Chiefs. 49ers, how do they bounce back from this? I mean, obviously they got Purdy. McCaffrey will be back. They'll have the likes of Fred Warner, the Bosa, as Joey, ain't it? Yeah, Joey. I think it's
Nick Bosa. Nick Bosa.
It's Nick. Joey's on the Chargers. That's right. They got some other big names on that defensive side of the ball that'll probably be back. Debo, Ayuk's a question mark. Kittle, I think, will probably be back. I think he's still on contract. So, I mean, they got a good bit of guys probably coming back. Did you see where they fired the defense coordinator?
Yes.
They threw him under the bus real quick, didn't they?
A lot of people were, I see a lot of people talking about so far on social media, like, he won the reason they lost Super Bowl. Their defense played great because the defense did play good in that game. They did. Yeah. Obviously, it just up to big time plays, but they played good throughout the game. But it wasn't necessarily the one game. The reason why the 49ers let go of the defensive coordinator is because of the other games throughout the season. I think a lot of people have forgotten about there were certain games throughout the season. This is one of the top, player for player, defensively, they probably have one of the better defense you've probably seen
They got some stars.
They got some stars on that team. There's no reason that team should be scoring away. Look at the Lions. Look at what the Packers did. There was a lot of games like that throughout the season, and they said because the Niners found a way to win, he kept giving himself an extra life. and an extra life. And I think lose. Now, I don't think this was the game he should have necessarily been fired on, because if anybody should have been, I don't think Kyle Shanahan should ever be fired, because it's already hard to get anybody to Super Bowl. Who are you going to get to put you?
That's exactly right. Who are you going to get to replace him that's going to get you to that point? It's just right. It's the same thing with the Ryan Day issue at Ohio State. Who are you going to get, man?
Who are you going to get?
Who's going to put you in the position that he puts you in every year?
Every year.
I understand he's not getting over it, and it is frustrating. And it probably 49ers fans are probably really frustrated. But, man, yeah. the flip side of the coins, it's not fun. It's not fun at all.
It's not fun. When you get there, because, like, obviously us as Georgia fans, when we knew we were 1 second away or a minute away from winning it all, and then we get our heart broken. You know, he's like, well, we can't fire our coach because it's not, you know, I mean, it's a one-play thing. And the 49ers have been in that one-play category so many times.
Maybe they'll get over it.
You know, you say, okay, can we eventually get over it? And a lot of teams, you got to trust your coach. I mean, there were times somebody made a great point. Andy Reid. Andy Reid was known to win a lot of games through the regular season. But when playoff time came, I remember the year in 2013, when the Chiefs played the Colts. And they were up 38-10. Had the game won. Game over with. Chiefs up 38-10. Colts came back, won the game 45-44.
Who was on the team during that time? That was what? That was Jamal Alex Charles.
Jamal Charles. Kelce was on the team. I don't think Tyreek was just yet.
I remember Kelce being on that. Yeah. I don't know if Tyreek may have. I don't know. Yeah, it's hard to remember that one. And then the Colts was – that was probably one of Lux last year.
No, work Lux. Yeah. Actually, Luck played all the way to 2018. Last year, that was – one of Mahomes' playoff wins. And I did not know that was Mahomes' first ever playoff win was against Andrew Luck. Wow. So,
he dropped that one. So, yeah, it's one. And then I just realized he started coaching, and I think it was – I saw the stat out there. It was actually during a sermon. A guy was preaching about it. He's like, he started coaching in like the 82 or 84 or something like that. And then, you know, didn't get a head coaching job until that Eagles, job opened up, and then he lost – there, and then they got rid of him, and the Chiefs picked him up. He didn't win his first Super Bowl till what was the year that they first won it?
2019.
So, you know, you go from 82 to 2019.
That's right, four years, man. And he had great teams on the Eagles. It wasn't like the Eagles were bad.
Indianapolis was solid. What, they had Terrell Owens.
Went to four straight NFC championships.
Didn't they? I can't remember if he – remember the year they had Garcia at quarterback? What was that, like 05, 06, something like that?
That was the 49ers. That was the Niners that had that.
That was the – okay. Yeah, I can't remember who. Okay, I'll have to look that up because I
– Then it went from Donovan McNabb to Michael Vick.
You might have Vick. And then Vick was awesome with them.
Yeah, and then after, like, Vick was on his downturn, he had those losing seasons, which was rare for him. And then, you know, they didn't necessarily fire him, but he was like, they didn't renew his contract, basically. So it was in a way to fire. And
yeah, that Garcia was with the Eagles for a little bit. He left. Yes, he signed with the Buccaneers from them March 3rd, 2007. So he was with the Eagles for a while. And he wasn't on the Madden cover, but I actually liked playing with him a good bit on Madden during that time. He was actually a pretty solid little QB.
Jeff Garcia?
Yeah.
I definitely remember when he was on the Niners and how, you know, he had some solid seasons on the Niners, but
he did too. He was on there as well, I believe. Hang on, I'm looking up everything about this dude because this is like a throwback for me. I can't. 49ers was 99 through 2003, Browns 2004, Lions 2005, Eagles was 2006, and then 07, 08 was the Buccaneers, and then the Raiders, and then the Eagles again, and then he went to the Omaha Nighthawks and then the Houston Texans. So, pretty crazy stuff. Little throwback action there for you.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, you can't. I don't think the 49ers should have necessarily just fired him. To be honest with you, I don't think they should have. The Wilkes, the defensive coordinator. I think they should have gave him a chance. But then again, you know, 49ers are you in this era where. Again, it is hard to make it to the Super Bowl. It is hard to win. Brock Purdy has been the back-to-back NFC Championship games, obviously going to the Super Bowl this year. That window is only open for so long. Again, look at the Eagles with Jalen Hurts. Now, I don't think they're going to just fall off. But It's going to be hard to see the Eagles. Like, I think teams starting to read the Eagles. I don't see – I know a lot of people say injury played a faction, but teams going to be able to start figuring it out. Like, these windows are only open for so long. And to be able to sustain them, you don't take that type of stuff for granted. You have to get the Super Bowl when you got it. Look what the Rams did in 2021. They spent all their money into winning that Super Bowl. If they wouldn't have won it, they've been in the hole. But you think they can?
All those assets. No.
Yeah, because they got the Super Bowl, you know? So you got to take advantage of these opportunities. And I understand. They're like, man, look, this upcoming year might be the last year the Niners have a shot, you know, before the team really blows up a little bit. Maybe I'm wrong, but it's hard, man.
You could be right. Depends on how the season kind of plays out. And, you know, there's a lot of variables that go into it. So that's something to definitely keep an eye on. So, yeah, it'll be interesting seeing how offseason gets handled. You know, now we're getting into combine and pro day type stuff, looking at these prospects, you know, having the draft come up here soon. That might be something we could do a show on at some point. Yeah, we can get the boys on and do something about that. That's something I could probably plan on doing. And then, yeah, man, it's just going to be interesting. Because there's a lot of moving parts here. Obviously, there's a lot of things that are going to change between now and then. A prospect that looks really good could end up having a bad interview or pro day or something. And then, it all goes to pot. But yeah, it'll be something fun to watch as far as that goes. So let's see here. Last thing here. Anything else before we move on from Super Bowl, NFL, that type of action?
No, man. That was definitely a great, great game, great season, great playoffs. Excited.
All right. So NBA All-Star Weekend. I guess what we can kick off here is let's first talk about the NBA trade deadline that happened, because that was like immediately before. You know, the whole, you know, All-Star Weekend happened. They always coincide. So let's see what the trades were. I mean, I didn't see anything huge go down. You had the Suns went and added Royce O'Neal and David Roddy. You know about those two, don't you?
Yes.
O'Neal, pretty solid, you know, defender back when he was with the Jazz. David Roddy's a good, like, young prospect from the Grizzlies. The Grizzlies are just blowing it up with Ja Morant out for the year, and Marcus Smart's been banged up. The Nets got 3 second round picks out of it, and Kata Bates Diop, and the Grizzlies got Utah Watanabe and Chimetsi Mitu, two guys that were pretty good signings for what they were. They were both veteran minimum guys, so a lot of bang for your buck in that sense. But obviously, they're going to the Grizzlies, so it doesn't really mean anything. But what do you think this means? Obviously, the team we're looking at here is the Suns, the only really contender out of these three. How do you like the addition of Royce O'Neal and David Roddy?
Well, you know, with the Suns, I have, you know, they've been playing solid. You know, I'm not going to sit here and act like they've been playing
sugarcoat it,
you know, too great. You know, with the guys that they have, but. Bradley Beal, you know, he's been injured. I don't think him, Booker, and Durant has really played like what more than like 5 games all on the floor together anyway. So, until Beal gets back to being able to play and be healthy, I don't really see a lot of the things going on with the Suns. They're one of those teams that, you know, you will want to see early in the playoffs. They're probably going to be a 5th or 6th seed, but they're a team you don't really want to see early in the playoffs. And I don't know, man. They got a lot of things to work with. I mean, you know, I know they got Nurkic at center, Eric Gordon, and a lot of these different guys. You know, Frank Vogel being the head coach. I don't know, man. I'm just not too much sold on the Suns right now.
I'm not either. I'm really not either. I'm sitting here thinking of that myself. Obviously, you know, we'll see how things play out before you know, we get to, you know, the play-in and all that kind of stuff. So I do want to see how they kind of finish off the year before I make my final assessment. But right now I'm not really huge on what they've done. Another trade that was done, this one's kind of a little bit of an under-the-radar type deal, but the Indiana Pacers, who right now, let's look at the NBA standings. We're looking at the Pacers. The Pacers have actually been pretty – they've been pretty decent this year, I'd say. You know, they haven't been awful. They haven't been amazing. Right now they're sitting at the 6th seed, so they're well within the mix of everything. They went and picked up an old familiar face, Doug McDermott. They traded away a 2nd-round pick and Marcus Morris. That's one that I kind of like for them, bringing in a guy that's a shooter that knows the town. He's, you know, a veteran they can bring in. So Marcus Morris really wasn't doing much for him. Giving away a 2nd-round pick, I don't think that's too huge of a, you know, giveaway there. let me know what you think here. Milwaukee Bucks going and giving up Cameron Payne and his 2027 second round pick for Patrick Beverley. You like that?
Wait a minute.
So they traded Cameron Payne and a second round pick for Patrick Beverley. Some people, they like the grit and the grind.
Yeah, that helps.
Yeah,
man.
They like that, you know, that tenacity that
Patrick Beverley. Who do you think made that trade? Was it more the front office or was it more the freaking head coach there?
The freaking head coach. What is this? There's a little anger behind that.
You think Doc Rivers deserved to be that? Dude, Doc Rivers.
I don't think he really cared for campaign. Campaign's not really. He's a defensive liability. He's like a spark off the bench kind of guy when it comes to scoring. That's really
awesome. Probably need that because they've been 3-7, you know, since he got there. He ain't doing nothing for him.
Man, there's some drama going on now. Did you see what JJ Redick came out and said today? And then
he don't hold his guys accountable. I saw that. I think it's true.
And then Beverly came out and said, "Well, he helped you out. Now you're retired talking like that." I don't know. It's all sorts of stuff.
Well, Patrick Beverly gonna say that because Doc Rivers gonna keep him a job, you know, everywhere.
Doc he'll have a job him. Now. Come on now, he'll get a job somewhere.
I mean, yeah, Pat Beverly has always had a job, but everywhere Doc Rivers been, where has Patrick Beverly been? Right there with him, just about.
He's one of those Doc River types. He's one of those types. So,
but I've just never been really too much sold on Doc Rivers. Yes, he won a championship. Yes, that's a hard thing to do.
They milked that championship for. Freaking! I mean, that was 2008. They act like that's one of the greatest championship teams of all time.
You would have thought they'd freaking three-peated with the way they talk.
Yeah, the way they celebrate that thing. It really is one of the most milked championship teams that I've witnessed. But then again, you know, I'm not too old, but yeah, it's I don't know. It's something else.
I don't know, man. I mean, I remember the championship run and everything. But
I like the team. I mean, don't get me wrong. During that time, I remember them and the Lakers going at it for those years and. I did like that Boston Celtics team, but man, it's just it's kind of a damper to me that they only got one, you know. And you had the original big three, in my opinion.
Yeah,
that to me, that was the big three that kind of started the big three movement, where then everybody and their mama had to go pair up with some, you know, two other dudes and go from there.
Well, I'm going to say this: like, you might, yes, I would agree that you would think they get more, but. Again, in an era of Kobe and LeBron,
they had to go through LeBron for a while, but that was during the Cleveland time before the Miami Heat big three. So that's what really screwed up a lot of stuff for them was when LeBron went to the Heat, when they got their heatles going on, that really fudged up everything for them. That really messed it up. I mean, obviously they ran into Dwight Howard that year with the Magic. He ended up, they ended up going to the
– And they should have lost that year. They lost the sixth game in that series. They should have lost. That was a year I thought they were going to go and play the freaking Lakers. I said, oh, man, this is about to be good. Mm-hmm. But, you know, and obviously see what happened with the Magic. They got swept, so.
Yeah. What? It was a – they were a fun team. But just
no, they didn't. They lost about five games. They lost five
Something games. Like that, yeah. And it was – you know, I can still name a lot of guys that were on that team. I like that Magic team. And then Turkaloo, shoot, they had Redick at that point. You know, they had Petrus and Jameer Nelson and all the so that they were a fun little squad. I like that squad. Rashard Lewis. So I liked him. So yeah, they had a solid squad. I liked it. And the Pacers, they threw a wrench in the mix too. But
they were
another trade that went down. Mavericks, your Mavericks. They traded away Grant Williams after only having this man on the team for how many months? I don't even know. They picked him up in the summer, already traded him away with Seth Curry and a first round pick in 2027 for PJ Washington. This is your Mavericks. What do you think, man?
Well, the Mavs to me.
Washington's a solid. He's a solid player.
He is. I gave up
a decent little bit for him, though.
I think the same thing with the Mavericks has been going on for the past few years, ever since we got to get better defensively. And, you know, that's just Luka's averaging what 34? He's averaging 34-9-8, bro.
Shooting, I don't know how serious we can take them. I really don't know how serious to take the Mavericks.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting because Kyrie's been playing solid. He's been playing really good.
Yeah.
He's been playing really good.
I've seen some good stuff from him.
It just depends on how, like you say, how sustainable it's going to be when.
Uh huh. It is. So let's see here. I'm trying to hold on. Let me reach out to you. See if you froze up there. Hang on just a second. Let me text him. So while he's doing that, let me go ahead and go through a couple others. I'll talk about this one because I know he's not going to care too much about this anyways. But here we go. Yeah, there he is. All right, he's back. He's back.
Sorry.
There you go.
Yeah, probably the Wi-Fi done something. But
you're good. You're good.
Back to what I was saying was, you know, looking at the standings, currently the Mavericks are the seventh seed. I mean, they would have to play the two seed, which would be the Thunder. And that Thunder team was shy. Oh, my goodness, boy. Them boys are good. I've been, you know, now I'm getting back a little bit more.
And they got Gordon Hayward now. They traded Gordon Hayward.
That was huge for them. Dude, getting back more like into NBA, you're seeing a lot of the teams that, man, Timberwolves being the number one seed, the Thunder being the two seed. Clippers are always in the mix.
But they look different this year.
They're playing to their potential. Yes, they are playing to their potential. The Nuggets going to be right there, obviously, defending champ. Suns, Pelicans.
I don't know too much on the Pelicans.
But I do know Zion. Zion's been playing solid. The average is 22 points. Like, it's funny to me how some people be – picking on Zion. I'd be like, Zion is average.
He's good. No, he's good when he plays. It's just that's the question, how much is he going to play? So
yeah, but he's averaged 20 points every single season. He averaged 22, 27, 26, and this year is 22. Like, how much more do you want from the number one overall pick? I mean, I think he's pretty solid. I think that's pretty good, you know?
Yeah. So. Last few things I'll hit on. I know the 76ers added Buddy Hield for Marcus Morris and Furkan Korkmaz. Obviously, Marcus Morris got sent back, you know, and that other trade for McDermott. I just talked about Gordon Hayward getting traded to the Thunder. Your Mavericks got Daniel Gafford, which I think was a pretty good pickup. I like him at center. That's one thing I feel like y'all have always kind of – not always, but y'all have been needing for a while now is a good, solid center. And he's solid enough. I think he can help out. To me, the New York Knicks got better. They added Bojan Bogdanovic, great shooter, great defensive player, from the Pistons, and Alec Burks for Evan Fournier, Malachi Flynn, Quentin Grimes, 2 seconds, and Ryan I don't even know how to pronounce his last name. So the Knicks got better in that trade. They also got OG Anunoby not that long ago. And last thing I was hit on here, the Raptors obtained Spencer Dinwiddie, who they bought out, and he's now with the Lakers. And I know for a while here, Torres, you were a guy that would always speak up for Spencer Dinwiddie and how good he was. I remember when he got traded for Kyrie Irving, and all of a sudden Spencer Dinwiddie was just an amazing player in Torres' mind.
He was solid. I didn't think he was because he was on the net, and y'all kept saying that he wasn't all that great. And I was dude, he actually played his role pretty well. That's the thing. Being okay is all right.
I understand that's when you're talking about a Kyrie Irving trade, You know what I'm saying?
We were speaking about when Dinwiddie was on the Nets, on what his role. He was solid. You thought, he didn't really mean nothing in a trade. And I'm like, I thought he was a solid player. You know,
Let's go back to this trade. I gotta look back at this. It was they got Spencer Dinwiddie, Dorian Finney-Smith, and an unprotected 2029 first round pick. That is poo-poo. For Kyrie Irving, that is a trash trade, in my opinion, and I will still say that to this day. A guy that you ended up trading away for peanuts and Spencer Dinwiddie, because all you did was trade away him for Dennis Schroeder. So I mean, it's like a 1-for-1 kind of deal on that. Finney Smith, he's just wasting away on the team, and then you got a first round pick out of it. I think you could have got more elsewhere, in my opinion. That's just me.
Who you're talking about? The Nets or the Mavs?
Yes, the Nets. The great deal for the Mavericks. You didn't hardly have to give up anything for Kyrie Irving. That was a great deal for you. The Nets just did not capitalize on the value at all.
I mean, he averaged freaking 16-9-5.
We're always just going to come back to the same thing. He's okay, but this is Kyrie Irving, bro. That's what I'm talking about. It's Kyrie Irving.
Hold up, Tyler. You tell me out of all these years, when has Kyrie ever led a team by himself?
He hasn't. All right. Spencer Dinwiddie ever led a team by himself?
Hey, you might well trade him because you've just wasted assets. You might as well. You ain't going to get nothing else.
All right. All right, I'll leave this one. We'll revisit this one another time. All right. All right, we'll agree to disagree. Real quick, last things here. We got to hit on NBA All-Star Weekend. I was able to catch some of the stuff. I watched the three-point shootout, three-point contest, whatever you want to call it. Damian Lillard pulled that one out at the end, beat out Trae Young. Pretty good three-point contest. Then I saw, did you get to catch any of the Steph versus Sabrina Ionescu?
It was really good.
Yeah. I thought it was a neat little thing. They're talking about maybe doing like a team versus team kind of thing next year. That might be pretty neat.
Caitlin Clark.
Get Caitlin Clark. Yep, that's what I was going to say. Get Caitlin Clark, you know, and you may have some action. She draws a crowd. She draws a crowd. Yeah, people like watching her. So that was pretty neat. And then the dunk contest. I know you said you didn't get to watch it. Mm-mm. And I know there's some people have some controversy. I know Torres was telling me before the show, he's like, some people think that Jaylen Brown kind of got snubbed on it. I will say this was a very underwhelming.
No. I didn't think Jaylen Brown got snubbed. No.
Well, you've heard some people say that, right?
No, the dunk he did over Kai Cenat was awful, and he got a really good high score off of it.
There you go. Okay, I misheard you. Yes, it was sucky. I was going to say that was a trash flipping dunk. That dunk sucked. All right. So now
we're just getting down.
Yeah, he's sitting down. I understand it's a famous YouTube guy. I don't ever watch this dude, but I do hear, you know, the kids talk about him and stuff. I see him on the reels and stuff like that. I sound like an old man now. But you get him out there. He sits down. Then somebody, I think it was Tatum throwing the ball up for him? Yeah, he was lobbing it up. And then Jaylen Brown dunks it. And then after he dunks it, he decides then he's going to act like he did it with, you know, covering his eyes. He was trying to do the D Brown thing from back in, like, I think that was like the 80s or 90s that D Brown did it. But D Brown had his whole face covered while dunking it. Jaylen Brown didn't do it till after the ball was through the hoop. So it was just kind of like cornball. I don't know. That's how I would describe it. It's like a cornball move by him. And then the Michael Jackson glove thing. I don't know. He tried to hype that one up. And then afterwards, he sits there and looks at the glove like this. I'm just like, shut up. Get out of here, dude.
It's got to look corny. All-Star weekend.
It was very corny. It was corny. Mac McClung, I do think he deserved to win it. But then again, it wasn't the most amazing thing. I do think, I mean, it's hard to top. He did pretty great last year. For him to come back and do it, you know, he said he did come up. He had a couple cool little dunks. I thought he did pretty good, and I did think he deserved to win it. So, Jaime Jaquez, I don't think he really – him and Toppin getting knocked out, that wasn't any big deal. I'm glad it came down between him and Jaylen Brown. But who was it? Somebody was saying somebody else should be in it. Oh, yeah. I think it was Jackson. Jackson posted an article about Jalen Johnson for the Hawks should be in it next year, and I do think that would be a pretty good addition. He's pretty good. Mm-hmm. That's right. But, yeah, as far as the All-Star game itself goes, another thing, I did not tune in. I probably will never tune in because the things are just boring now. It's like Pro Bowl stuff.
It's worthless.
So, I don't know what you do to fix it. Maybe you get somehow talk the players into trying. I don't know. Like, that's the only way I see this thing fixing itself, and they're not going to do that. So
they're not going to try for that type of – they're not going to try, man. Unless you're saying, I don't even think the money's going to be worth it. Like, Ocho Cinco made a good point. Money's not going to be enough to get these guys to play either. It's like these guys are already making $100 million or $80 million. He's like, I'll give you $1 million to play harder. That's not going to really push nobody, I feel like. These guys, because they said, what's his name? The guy that played for Timberwolves, Anthony
Edwards.
Edwards. He said, All-Star Weekend is like a break for us. Yeah. You know? But like Barkley, like he said, man, it is an honor to make it. He's like, it's an honor to be here. It's like nobody said you had to play hard for all four quarters. But like when the fourth quarter hits, I remember the All-Star game when I was younger. Those guys actually played in the fourth quarter. Like, and it's not us trying to sound like an old head, but those guys actually played. It was actually pretty cool to watch. You like I remember the time when like Kobe and LeBron went at it. You know, one-on-one. You want to see those type of matchups, mm-hmm. you know, in the All-Star game. Now go down, shoot a three. You're having the center shoot three. Everybody want to shoot a three.
Everybody want to shoot a three or get an open dunk. You got Dame pulling up from half court and doing them. It's just a circus. It's a show. Yeah, not too keen on it. So That's my takeaways from it. I didn't watch the skills thing. I did watch a tad. I think I watched like a second of the celebrity thing. Micah Parsons did look good. I'm not going to lie to you. Micah Parsons.
He scored 30 points, didn't he?
Yeah. Micah Parsons looked pretty good. And then CJ Stroud was okay. I think Puka Nacua had him a dunk. And then the Kasanet guy, he didn't really have anything at all going on. So,
yeah,
that's all I got, though. So, any last things you want to cover here before we end the show, man?
No, man, really good weekend. A lot of good sports things going on. Definitely keep staying tuned in. And, yes, I am definitely staying tuned in with Caitlin Clark. She broke the all-time NCAA women's scoring record. Phenomenal. She literally pulled up from almost half court and sunk it in. She's dropped – I think she dropped, what, 39 points that game? Wow. She's a beast. She's a beast. She's good.
So, yeah, well, that's going to do it for us today, guys. Thank you for those of y'all that tuned into the live stream. If you're listening on podcasts, please continue to do so. We are out there on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, anywhere that's located. Please, help support the show by following us on our social media pages on X. You can follow us here on Facebook. You can follow us on YouTube. Subscribe to us there. Like us, that kind of thing. We do appreciate all the support. If you go to the Linktree link in the description of this podcast, there's other ways that you can support the show. So, with that being said, thank you guys so much for listening in again. And as always, we'll see you next time.
Boom, boom.